o'clock hour of Cairo Nights, the home stretch. Mace and Mike hanging out with you on this Friday. If you want to chime in, if you want to be a part of what we're doing here, text us. It's that easy. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Give those thumbs a workout. You know, give them a little stress, stretch them beforehand, because you don't want to sprain a thumb. You got to keep in shape. You don't want to fall into disrepair here. We decided to treat ourselves on a Friday. We've been treating ourselves a lot lately, but you know what? We need that. You know, eat an extra ice cream sandwich. You deserve it. Times are tough. We got Stacy Joe for the 9 o'clock hour, at least the first part of it, and we're gonna get right to it. But first, you know the deal. I have to say that Seattle Sports at Night is powered by Star Rentals. They are the preferred supplier of the West's best contractors. Stacy's on, turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton. At 8:33, she hangs out with Mike and me. And you look from the song that counts the time of Stacy's on. Stacy Joe.
Look at that intro.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I channeled Roger Daltrey.
Yeah, I was going to say it in my generation. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just like spaced on the... Was that the first time that the intentional stutter was used?
I believe it's the at least popularized, the intentional stutter. Yeah. Fade away. I saw The Who when I was like 15. My cool aunt and uncle took me, my biker Uncle Ken and my Aunt Lorraine, and they handed me some... They bought me an Aerosmith CD. When I was like 13 or 14.
Wow.
They always had like the cool stuff, like Nirvana back in the day.
It wasn't the tour with The Clash and T-Bone Burnett, was it?
No, it was Quadrophenia. They did all of Quadrophenia.
Holy,
they had Billy Idol and Gary Glitter were there.
Gary Glitter, but when you could still listen to him.
Right, yeah. Yeah, before the unfortunate accusations. And John Entwistle was still alive. We had like great floor seats. I just started playing bass. He was kind of right in front of us. It totally blew my mind.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I still have the shirt. I think it was 96,
all right.
95, 96, something like that. Yeah. It's awesome. Awesome.
Sorry, Stacey.
Hi, Stace.
No, it's okay.
We're just going to talk about The Who. Hope you don't mind.
Like, I don't know what to chime in with. Yeah. I'm just going to be quiet.
Question. Are you interested in talking about the NBA's potential return? Because there is news now. I know we've been sort of chittering about it for a little while, but there is news today that the NBA has set a target date for its return. They're saying July 31st, and they're going with the Disney plan. Now, a tentative plan.
Yes.
But this is basically what they're rolling with. That would give the NBA about two more months to finish the Disney proposal stuff and work that out. And then also getting players back up to speed. I don't know what they've been doing. I assume they've all been, you know, maintaining workouts and things like that. But there's a difference between sitting at home and getting your workouts in and then playing competitive NBA basketball. So they have a couple months to get up to speed, and then questions still remain. Are they going to jump right into the playoffs and call the truncated season completed? What do you think, Stace?
Well, and also, Stacey, maybe you followed this and I didn't.
Are they
going to do the Disney World thing? Did they say yes or no?
That's the plan.
That's the Disney bubble.
Yeah. It's being talked about as though that's where they're going. I think it's just because it's hard to commit to anything right now, much like a start date, a location, anything, but everyone is speaking about it as though it's going to be that. It's going to be July 31st with the tentative plan being Disney World. So I think that's kind of the operating assumption. Go ahead.
So that pulls, if you've got, let's say you play a regular 7-game playoff series, that takes about 2 months, I think. So we're talking about ending in October, and then I'm also hearing they're saying starting up the following season, the next season, like at Christmas, which is 2 months to recover from playoffs and then start up a new season again. Have you heard anything like that?
I haven't. You know, I have to say I haven't been as directly involved with the NBA chatter as opposed to following NCAA football, primarily because there's no NBA team versus we're watching to see what happens with the Cougs and the Huskies and the other teams here. But it's the same kind of premise. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was something they were both considering and then also trying to figure out if they can just like plan around it. Because you have to look at, remember when we were talking about the Pac-12 and the idea that because of the restrictions, if the Pac-12 all wanted to start on the same time, you have to deal with the restrictions in California and Washington.
Right.
You know, even though Arizona would have looser restrictions if you all were trying to play it fair, then people were saying, well, what if the Pac-12 gets their season started in the spring? So I wonder if the NBA is looking at that same problem of like, I mean, how close do we call this? And I think what those leagues, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine that what some of these organizations and leagues are looking at is the possibility that like, what if this extends into 2021? So like, can you count on having a regular season in 2021?
Right.
Who knows? Like maybe just plan to have something in 2020. So the exact like guidelines for how they're going to resume the season in the NBA is still being negotiated. There's kind of this joint task force between the NBA and the Players Union, which is the same thing you're seeing in several other leagues. So the expectation is that we'll start seeing guidelines, ideally by the start of next week, June 1st, June 2nd. And so what those guidelines will be, whether you jump straight to the playoffs, whether you have a play-in tournament, whether you just resume the season, all of that's still to be determined, but there was some controversy that arose from it. So we don't have to get into that right now, but I'll see what you guys think about just kind of like your perfect idea for how the NBA would have discussions about it.
Ooh, you're cutting out a little bit there, Stace.
Yeah, I thought that was my headphone.
Yeah, we'll have to get that fixed.
Back?
Oh, yeah, you're back. You sound
okay.
Good.
Okay. Oh, great.
How about them apples? What were you saying about the, there was some sort of a dust up?
Yeah.
Oh, was there?
So this is interesting. A guy named, it's Dan Orlovsky. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
A former backup quarterback. Actually, I think he even started a season, right? For the Lions, maybe? He spent most of his career as a backup. I don't think he's still in the league. He's not in the league anymore. He's become an interesting pundit. He's actually been considered a fairly sharp analyst of football. And so let me make it clear, of football.
Okay.
And so he decides on some podcast or ESPN show, perhaps, that I just saw the Twitter dust up. I don't follow the guy very closely. I mean, you know, I follow him as closely as I do any former backup quarterback for the Detroit Lions. And he essentially, very closely. That's what I do. He decided to chime in. Damian Lillard, if you don't know who he is, he's the star player, the best player on the Portland Trail Blazers, prominent player in the league, and a guy really is sort of like very civically involved. Grew up pretty poor in Oakland. Is kind of considered one of those people that the NBA loves to hang their hat on. He's exactly the kind of player that the NBA loves to have.
Right.
Well, Orlovsky, who apparently saw something Lillard said, and Lillard essentially said this: look, why is it if we were at the bottom of the standings and we were not qualified for the playoffs when they chose to suspend the season, why don't we just roll with the teams that are at the top and play? And because I don't really feel like continuing to play for nothing, especially with given the health risks and things like that.
Right.
And Orlovsky, not really thinking it through, disagrees it strongly and then refers to Lillard as what a spoiled brat. And what was the other thing?
Spoiled and entitled brat.
Well, he's saying,
brat. What he says is,
wow,
I've got the quote. He says, I struggle because what he did, it's exactly like you said, Mike. He's basically comparing like an NBA player's job to like someone at the supermarket, like a regular job, which is already something you shouldn't be doing because it's just not. It's
apples and oranges.
Not even apples to oranges. It's like apples to like just like completely different. Both nouns, but both very different nouns.
Yeah, apples to Chevrolets. And, right.
Exactly. And so Orlovsky basically says like, hey, if you are saying that you don't want to play in these games because they're going to be meaningless, then, you know, you aren't appreciating that you have a job. And he says, quote, I struggle sitting here and going, you don't come off as in some way a spoiled and entitled brat by saying I'm not going to play. So spoiled and entitled brat.
Yeah. And wrong guy. I mean, really, yeah, if there's anyone in the league you wouldn't say that to if you had any awareness of basketball. And like I said before, he's a good football analyst.
Uh-huh.
He apparently hasn't watched basketball in the last 20 years or so. And he said this about the one guy in the league you wouldn't say this about.
Mm.
And immediately, the blowback was so massive, including Lillard himself, who weighed in. And I think he said something like, shut your, and he did actually, because he doesn't swear a lot, shut your effing mouth. Mm. You know, you don't know who I am.
Right.
And I have never heard of you, which is understandable because most of us hadn't. And
right.
And then he starts this backpedaling apology about using the wrong terms.
Oh, I love the backpedaling.
The best
apology.
Part of the backpedaling apology, I gotta say.
Oh, it was a.
Was the genius meme that someone found, the genius sports clip that someone found of Orlovsky fading back to throw a pass in the NFL in a Lions game into the end zone, running out of, not realizing he had run out of the back of the end zone.
And literally backpedaling.
Literally backpedaling out of the end zone and running like for a while, like back there, not realizing he was a good like 3 yards out of the end zone.
At least.
At least. I
literally
mean, like
another player is kind of like pointing.
He's almost in the camera pit. And other players are like, what's going on here? And everyone said, this is his
what
reaction.
What is he doing?
Yeah, this is actually the metaphor for his, the visual metaphor for his reaction to Dame Lillard. And he ended up getting, schooled mercilessly by the internet,
just
including some prominent people in the internet, you know, in sports.
Good.
I actually think he's a likable dude, but I'll read you
I think
his
so
apology.
Too, actually.
So this is, he tries to apologize. It doesn't really work. And then he says, quote, and that's why I told you I was wrong to say that. 100% on me, and you have my public apology. I shouldn't have said that. I can't speak for anyone but me, but I'm sorry. That's my bad, and I was wrong.
And I got to say, I actually give him credit for that. You rarely see a complete, I'm sorry for those I offended, not the
right,
I'm sorry.
Right, right.
And I give him credit for that. He actually gave the real, I blew it, on me, and I'm sorry.
Right.
I'll take that because we get so few of those anymore.
I mean.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
But isn't social media prevalent enough? Isn't it ubiquitous enough that folks should have learned these lessons by now? I mean, if you are somebody who is, especially somebody who is in the public eye, and you go after somebody else who is in the public eye, you're if you do something stupid, you're going to get caught. You're going to have to pay for it. Like, we see this over and over again.
Well,
I actually
I
have a
sports particularly, though, there's like this hot take expert kind of thing. So you have guys that make their millions literally in sports media by having controversial takes, and it's kind of celebrated and it's seen as a very marketable trait,
right,
especially among kind of like talking heads for and analysts. And so to come out and it's like it's almost better to be hated, I think, in sometimes in the eyes of sports media,
mm-hmm,
rather than just have you be forgotten. And so you see like Stephen A. Smith and you see Skip Bayless and all these guys say stuff that people debate all the time. And so I think that my interpretation was Dan Orlovsky trying to make a point that he felt strongly about in the moment. And that is his job. But he just, I think, clearly regretted saying that afterward.
Yeah, I mean, if you had said that, you know, let's just use another NBA player as an example. If you had said that, if Carmelo Anthony had said, I don't want to play, a guy who doesn't have, who's actually a pretty decent man, but doesn't have that same, has a reputation as kind of a selfish person, mm-hmm, as, you know, from a style of basketball play standpoint. Mm-hmm. If he had done that, or somebody else who's considered a little bit of a knucklehead had done that, then that's one thing. But you can't pick on a saint in the league.
Right.
It's just very, very difficult,
right,
especially one who is not only a good basketball player, a way above average rapper. Like a really...
Wait, what?
Like, he is actually one of those rare athletes whose music is solid.
Really?
Yes.
What's his name again?
And I think...
Damian Lillard.
Okay.
Damian Lillard. And I think, too, like, one thing that people... This isn't an opinion. This is something I saw, and I thought, yes, that's exactly what it is. There's a little bit of irony in saying that a player is a spoiled, entitled brat for not wanting to play and risk injury in a game in which his team has no chance of making the playoffs. Not because they were bad throughout the season, but because these are meaningless games kind of thrown in to, like, help rake in some extra money for what's otherwise feels like a lost season. there's something deeply ironic with being like, no, you must play for my entertainment. It's a, exactly. You're an essential worker and you must perform. And it's like, so you don't think it sounds entitled to demand that an athlete like risk injury for stuff that like it truly like the hypothetical situation would be one in which his team has no chance of making the playoffs. They're just having games on.
Well, and also as people on Twitter pointed out, Dan spent most of his career watching football, not playing football.
Backup bench boy. I don't mind. I mean, look, he was there. He was at the party.
He was at the party.
I do respect that.
That's true. I wasn't invited.
No, I wasn't invited. I couldn't have done that. Okay, I got a little Damian Lillard music here. You want to hear this? This is Both Clean.
Yes.
I guess the song is Both, maybe? And it's the clean version. All right. The music video that I'm watching, it's a lot of basketball. He's playing some basketball in slow motion. Some locker room shots. All right, I'm going to skip to
and he's no Shaquille O'Neal. Pull your up cause you like a granite. You're just an
amateur. Go make this cricket. Just try throw the brick at me. All right. Like half a million worth for heroin when she look at me. But you ain't got a f*** with me, my d***, but you start with me. I love the like chicken noise. They're like, wah!
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah.
Period. That's not bad. All right.
Huge fan of that.
I mean, he's a young fella, I assume.
No, I really.
He's playing
it.
Professional basketball.
Yeah. That yeah. Wasn't bad at all.
No. I'll take it.
I mean, when it's not your primary profession, like imagine if we were just also good at something completely unrelated to our job. That'd be a pretty cool trait.
Well, right? And also so many athletes, particularly in basketball, like trying to do that side career. Allen Iverson, other people have tried that side career in rap, and most of them is Shaq. Was awful.
Shaq Diesel.
he wasn't as bad as people say. He just wasn't great. But Lillard, actually, you listen to him and you would have no idea. And his albums have gotten generally decent reviews.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's like good warm up music.
Yeah.
Like if I was getting ready, here's some Shaq Diesel. Come on.
Sounds much more like dad rap too.
Oh yeah. Come on. What's up, Doc? Carrie Rock. He's got foo schnickens.
Dancing. I already know what's happening. What's up,
Harga Hoopoo? Jamal Dukes of Padukes. The two scoops and wait. Maybe that's what we should do.
What's that?
A show. Athlete rappers and just rate them.
Oh, man. Yes. Man, Shaq is so skinny in this video.
We've lost Aaron for good, Stacey.
I'm obsessed.
He's done now.
I'm trying to find Shaq singing.
Like the rest of the day.
Here we go.
Mike, congrats.
Exactly.
Here's Shaq. I'm the boss. When it comes to money, I'm like Dick the Boss. Now who's the first pick? Me, world is morning. Not a Christian Leitner, not Alonzo Mourning. That's okay, not being Braggatocious. Supercalifragilistic, Shaq is Alanocious. Oh my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Are you kidding me? Well, I take everything back I said about Shaq's rapping.
Good.
Oh. Stace, we're...
You learned a lesson. You and Dan Orlovsky learned an important
lesson. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thanks for hanging out, Stace.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
good weekend.
We're all wrapped up. You too. I'm just going to listen to more Shaq. That's okay with you.
That's always okay with me.
Thank you. That is Stacey Joe. You can hear her every day on the Tom, Jake, and Stacey Show on 710 ESPN. See you next week, Stace.
Have a good weekend, Stacey.
Bye, guys.
Bye. We'll be back. More Cairo Nights right after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. Mason, Mike, thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday evening. This funky Friday, as it were. 98973, of course, State Roofing text line. If you want to chime in, shoot us a text. It's a great, great, easy, simple way to get involved in the show. Mike, it's been sort of a heavy news day, atypical for a Friday. Fridays generally are pretty light and fun, but there was a lot of heavy stuff that we had to talk about today, so why not talk about distractions? Specifically, what are the things that you and I are doing to chill out to distract ourselves from all of this news that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I've got to be disciplined about making my distractions actual distractions, because I tend to have a lot of bleed into what we do on air. Uh-huh. I mean, those tend to be a lot of the podcasts that I follow. So I find myself at times like really looking forward to listening to the podcast that I will listen to and realize it's covering the same stuff and not sometimes in a better and different or more nuanced way or whatever,
sure,
deeper way.
Sure.
But nonetheless, I've been, you know, marinating in that topic all week. And then I try and relax with the podcast and realize, oh, wow, that didn't help. And it's kind of hijacked in some ways all of my other favorite podcasts that aren't fundamentally news podcasts. This American Life, like a lot of podcasts that I would normally listen to or escape in, have become very focused on the pandemic and the effects of the pandemic, from economic to health to social. And so I've had to sort of like dig deeper. And one of the ones that I actually find is a nice escape, although it's escape into something kind of awful, is, I mean, awful, at least in terms of you look at the actual human cost, is war stories. But it's this really dynamite, a couple of a guy named Aiden, who is a military writer, a guy named goes by Angry Staff Officer, who is a former infantryman and is still a member of the Army National Guard and also a military writer. These two do a podcast, and they essentially break down major battles or skirmishes in war history, not just United States, but pre-United States, early, you know, from Alexander the Great forward. And it's fascinating because they talk about tactically how when somebody would make a big shift in tactics, how other people started recognizing it, and it would change in no different way than you see disruptions in the tech community. It happened in fighting as well, and how technology would suddenly swing an advantage in one direction to one particular group of people, and then more technology or tactics would swing an advantage to another way. And it's this really great, it's a really great history lesson, which I dig anyway. But it's also a very specifically focused history lesson. And I'm not exactly a military history buff, but the stories are well told. These two people have a really good dynamic, and I find that I completely forget everything else when I'm listening to it, because it creates, you like, you make a very vivid picture in your head, and that's part of the whole escape process, is to replace the movie that's running in your head with a different thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing a few different things. Podcasts is definitely one of them. I tend to really like weird comedy podcasts. Right. So there's a couple like Bananas for Bonanza, which is I don't even know how to explain it. A comedian named Andy Daly, he's an improviser as well. He plays this character named Dalton Wilcox. He's the poet laureate of the West. And he originated this character on a different show years ago.
Right.
And this is sort of a spinoff, like kind of how Mork landed on Happy Days and then they gave him his own show. This is that, except that he and his crew go through each episode of Bonanza. And the joke being, there are, I think, like 431 or two episodes of Bonanza.
Right.
And it's just, it's bizarre, it's weird, it's nonsense. They get to the show sort of toward the end. You know, it's all about the preamble and all that business. I really like that a lot. There's also one called 20,000 Hertz, which I've talked about before.
You have, and that's one I actually put on my list after you talked about it the last time.
It's a really fantastic, it's so well produced. It's done by these guys who are basically sound engineers. They make sounds for a living.
Right.
And they tell the stories behind the world's most recognizable sounds. And sometimes it's really deep and really informative. Sometimes it's weird. Their latest one is basically about why do we think farts are funny? And they talk about the whoopee cushion a lot.
Right.
It's a trip.
That sounds like one I would dig.
Yeah, it's a great show. 20,000 Hertz. If you spell it out, you can find it. Yeah.
So what else are you doing other than, let's just say, get out of the podcast?
I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing, like apparently the rest of the world. It's just a delightful, pointless exercise in calm.
Right.
You know,
without even the scandal of like SimCity or anything like that.
Right.
It's sort of just like as benign as it gets.
Totally. The worst thing that can happen to you is you get stung by wasps and then you have to go get some medicine and take some medicine. Then you're fine. Or you get a...
What about murder hornets?
Oh, we'll see. They update it all the time.
Oh,
and we are approaching summer. You know, it's done in real time, so there's seasons. So there's only you can only catch certain fish a certain time of year or a certain time of day or in a certain location.
Given sort of the theme of Animal Crossing, my guess is it's going to be maybe attempted assault hornets. It's not really going to be
because
there's no real murder
it's
there.
Right. It's an E for everyone.
Irritation hornets or something like that.
Yeah. It's basically a game for children. Right. Let's be honest with ourselves. but the sky's the limit. I mean, right. you can do so much with it. That's been really fun.
Yeah, for me, weirdly enough, like I find great satisfaction, and I don't know why, because I don't then maintain the status, but I find great satisfaction in organizing stuff. And no one I think would look at me as a terribly organized person, although I manage to keep a lot of balls in the air most of the time. I don't drop many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the process of completely like emptying out everything in the dresser, finding stuff that's got to go to Goodwill, like clearing out space. Because I find that if I can keep the space to put things organized, I'm pretty good at putting things away. I always put tools away. I was raised in that sort of my dad's shop and my brother's shop. You always had to put like the screwdrivers back in the screwdriver drawer, specifically categorized, like that kind of thing. And so I'm good about that, generally speaking. But I find that as soon as I lose that regular place to put something, it all starts falling apart very rapidly.
Yes, in the same way.
And things go all over the place. And I did actually get a good tip about where you should, when you are reorganizing, where you should put things. And this is a kind of an interesting idea that you should put, if you lose things and you find it, you find something that you've lost, say a tool that you need or something that you need, and you looked all over and you finally find it, where you should store it is the first place you looked for it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right?
Right.
Pretty good idea.
That's where it should be.
Because that's where it should be.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
I like that.
Yeah, no, I thought I heard that on a really interesting, another different podcast, the Freakonomics, which is one of my favorite podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a guy who's the editor of Wired magazine, and he had these like tips for living. It's like 39 of them. And they were all very smart. But that one sort of rang true with me, like, well, of course, just build it backwards.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm also watching, there's a TV show on now that's in its second season? Third season? I should know this. What We Do in the Shadows. It's the strangest, most hilarious take on vampires. I'm not a big vampire guy.
Right.
But my God, is this show funny. It is, these vampires, they live in...
Is it American? Is it...
It's based off of a movie of the same name, What We Do in the Shadows, that's from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is of these vampires who have been living in Staten Island for centuries. And they were originally sent here to like take over North America,
right.
But they got lazy and they haven't done anything. And it's just uproarious. And every ancillary character is hilarious. People show up for one episode a lot of times and just it's
I'm gonna
knock
have to watch
out of
this.
The park.
On which platform is it?
It's on Hulu. If you have all Hulu, right. You can watch it.
Don't have Hulu, so
FX show.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right, well.
We're out of time.
We're going to have to revisit this because I kind of liked it. I liked it. Also, it gave us, quite literally, it gets very meta because it gave us a distraction from what we've been talking about as well, just to have a talk about distraction.
It's true. More Cairo Nights, everybody, right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. Mace and Mike. Happy Friday. Happy end of the show. That's right. It's time for What's on Your Mind. You tell us, we tell you. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Frank Shires is in. DB is here. That mic is cracked. He's ready to go. Who wants to go first? Gents?
I'll leap into
chomping.
The
fray. Frank Shires.
So I took Rosie the Yellow Lab up to a place that is a gem in King County, and I would not be surprised if none of you have ever been there.
Hmm.
You ever been to Cougar Mountain Park?
No.
Yep.
Hiked it. Mike, you don't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
We hiked from the Manning Trailhead down to the clay pit where they used to make bricks.
Oh.
And Red Square is at the UW.
Yeah.
That's where the bricks came from.
Really?
Closed it down in 93. They've seeded it. It's a beautiful place now. But if you've never been to Cougar Mountain Park, short version is it's the first hill, the first major hill east of Seattle. It's a huge network of trails. You could walk it all day and not cover every inch.
Huh.
Beautiful, beautiful forest, quiet. Just, it's just glorious.
How about you, Mike?
Oh, I'm sort of going two directions on what's on my mind. I mean, the first was I was just kind of pleased that motorcycle racing is coming back this
yeah.
weekend.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm happy about that. I'm the only person at Cairo happy about that. But I will take that. You know, and it's always been one of those things I've kind of enjoyed rooting for by myself, at least among my friends who are not sort of serious about it.
I know he's a rider. Is Curly into racing? Does he follow motorcycle stuff at all?
Most people who even ride a motorcycle are not really into racing.
Yeah, I'd rather watch a cycle race than a car race any
day. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But actually, that's not what I'm thinking about. What I'm thinking about is Minneapolis. You know, it's hard for me to get my head around it because I really like the city. I've been there a few times, mm-hmm. And I have friends there. And it occurred to me that we're dealing with the two big things in America right now, the coronavirus and then this protest, that which has spilled over to other cities, both involve something kind of invisible. The virus itself, which you can't see, certainly not with the naked eye, and you can with a microscope or electron microscope anyway. And then also just this tension that people feel about law enforcement. I mean, there are people who don't feel it at all because they've never had to feel it at all. But then you realize when something like this, and it's a serious thing, you know, what the video we saw is a serious thing. Is it proportional to burning down portions of town? Well, depending on your point of view, it absolutely isn't, and it's a criminal act, or it absolutely is, and that's the only way you're going to get attention to the problem. But what it really means is that there is an enormous amount of invisible tension that we're not recognizing because this stuff just doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't happen. And because we're seeing evidence of it now doesn't mean it just happened. It means that it's just been ticking.
Yeah.
And that always concerns me because you wonder what else is out there. The two big things we're dealing with right now are both things we didn't see coming.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that, too. That specific thing, how this has just been happening. You know, when something like this occurs, you see on social media people posting quotes and things from the past mm-hmm. and just stuff from like Martin Luther King and James Baldwin and even like episodes of The Fresh Prince where they are 100% relevant to what's happening here. And in some cases, that was like 60 years ago. And we're still dealing with this issue. I'm glad we're talking about it, but I'm overwhelmed by it, honestly. And I'm really thankful to people out there, especially people of color who are like, hey, white people, here's some stuff we're thinking. Here's some things you can do. You know, here are ways to be helpful. And that's encouraging because at least it's something of a roadmap during this very upsetting and confusing time. DB.
Yeah, that's tough. I that has been on my mind, this whole George Floyd thing. But I'll be completely honest. What's sort of been at the forefront of my mind for the past couple weeks is next week is my last week here.
Yeah.
At Cairo Radio.
It's been on our minds too.
And I've been sort of wondering when would be the best time to talk about it or broach the subject. But yeah, I'm moving down to Portland, my girlfriend and I. I've got a bunch of family down there. There's mm-hmm. some jobs possibly lined up. Prices for rent are just way cheaper. It has seemed like the right move. And my girlfriend and I have been trying to figure out when the right time to move would be. And all the sort of shutdown has caused us to have to shift things around a little bit, but now we're going to be moving down next Saturday. So this weekend we're making sure to get all of our stuff sort of packed up. And I am feeling very wistful mm-hmm. of my time here and very thankful for my time here. And I'm sure it will come up in the shows next week. Yeah, it's been a ride, man. It's been really awesome.
I keep wanting to talk about it, and you haven't said anything, so I haven't said anything.
So now the trigger has been tripped.
Now the gates are open, yeah, so next week is just going to be a celebration of this man. Yeah, man, really happy for you.
Thank you.
Bummed for me.
Yeah.
But very happy for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a totally, I think it's a totally great opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for the show,
I know.
It's a step backward.
I know. It's not going to be the same. All right, folks. We got one more week with him. That's our DB for Frank Shires, Mike Lewis, and the aforementioned Mr. Burbank. I'm Aaron Mason. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.